What the Tech is brought to you by ButcherBox. Skip the store and spend more time on what's important, family. Get great meat delivered for free right to your door. Go to butcherbox.com/Andrew, claim your free bacon and $20 off. Simple Contacts, an easy and convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription or reorder your contacts from anywhere within minutes. Get $30 off your contact lenses by visiting simplecontacts.com/Andrew and entering the promo code Andrew. Everybody, welcome to What the Tech. I'm Andrew Zarin. Of course, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Theron. How you doing, Paul?
Pretty good. How are you?
Okay. I'm all right today. You know, very stressed with life.
I'm sorry.
I'm not the same young man that you knew a couple years ago, Paul.
Sure.
I'm now defeated by life.
Yeah, that's what happens.
is that you know, you warned me one day. Drunken Paul Theron at Rattle and Hum told me, looked me dead in the eyes and said, Andrew, one day you're going to be so defeated by life.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to be standing over you on that day.
Yeah.
Saying, I told you so.
I told
now
you
get
so.
Out of the gutter.
Guys, actually, we've had a crazy jump in numbers over the last 2 weeks. I think Tuesdays are doing it. I think it's not necessarily for the live show, but for the podcast. I saw like a whole new bunch of people are messaging me, telling me that they just discovered the show and how long we've been doing it. And my answer is too long. Every time I get asked that question. And then I get asked,
how long have we been doing it? Do we even know? It's a long time.
You know what? Suncast could probably go in the archives and find out. He's the man that knows all the numbers.
Yeah, let's get him busy.
I'm going to say 6 years.
You think, really? Seven years.
Maybe even seven.
Boy.
I'll tell you. Well, here's the thing. The first time you came on my show, you wrote, was it the Windows phone book?
Well, Windows Phone 7. That was 2010, the first one.
Okay. I think 2011 was official.
Okay. Wow.
Seven in heaven.
Time flies when you're being dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, we do have a lot to talk about today. I want to talk about your experience with the first step into using S-Mode, living with S-Mode. You wrote a premium article on Therot.com, and my question was why you would want to do this, but... I read parts of it. I didn't finish the article because there's like a two-parter here. He's living with
there's going to be more parts, but yeah, so far there are two.
So I want to talk to you about this and a couple other things, of course. But before we do, I want to remind everybody, you can go to Therot.com, sign up for the premium service over there. You can join the premium service and they have great, great stuff here for you. I'm having DNS problems, so I'm a little slow with everything I'm doing today. But there is a spring sale. It ends, March 31st. Get premium Therot. Is there a difference between the Therot that I see today and the Therot I will see on Saturday? Is that like premium Therot?
Yeah, premium Therot dresses in a tux.
Yeah. Yeah, weekend Therot. Get Therot Premium for $48 on your first year of premium service. This is actually great. You can sign up now for 1 year for $48, or you can subscribe for a monthly service of $7 a month. And there's a plethora of things that you get, like the show with you and Brad, all these premium articles, and a whole lot more. I want to give a little shout out, and I want to remind everybody, go sign up there. I'm a premium guy. I'm a Paul Theron guy. I get all my news. My weather.
I am as well.
I get my weather from Paul. I get my traffic reports on the 10s from Paul. That's just how it works. Let's talk about this, actually. So you have been testing S-Mode out.
Yeah, I mean, I do this from time to time, right? So obviously last summer I tested it. I tested it when the Fall Creators update came out. I've been using it to update the book, the Windows 10 book, right? To make sure everything's accurate to Windows 10S. But now in this next version of Windows 10 that's coming out in the next 30 days, they're getting rid of Windows 10S. As a product, and they're integrating S-Mode into the other versions of Windows 10. Mm-hmm. So this is, why do I do this, right? So every version of Windows 10 that comes down the pike, I reevaluate different aspects of the operating system. In the past, the big one has been Microsoft Edge, you know, the web browser. I will keep doing that, but S-Mode is getting on that list too, because it's so important to the future of Windows. So Basically, it's just a check-in to see if this thing is ready for prime time yet. I mean, I would say all of last year it really wasn't. But, you know, the goal of Windows 10S or S mode now, as we call it, is valid. It's just a matter of timing, when we get there. So I just, you know, need to keep looking at it and see if it's kind of there yet.
Yeah. So what has been the biggest difficulty? Because I'm curious. Actually, let me make this report. What's the biggest difficulty you faced with it? Mm-hmm. Because obviously it's an adjustment, right? You can't do a lot of the things that you were traditionally doing. So what's been the biggest adjustment for you? And what do you think people are going to have? Like, what's going to be the biggest adjustment for most people that use this mode?
Yeah. Yeah. My biggest adjustment is going to be the same as anyone else, which is just apps, right? And primarily the web browser, Chrome. You can't install third-party desktop applications in S mode. And the primary issue there, the biggest issue by far, is web browsers. You can't install Chrome or Firefox or whatever other browser you prefer. So that means that anyone who's using S mode is going to be forced to use Microsoft Edge, which, you know, is okay, but it's not ideal. And like I said, for the past three versions of Windows 10, I've kind of gone back and reevaluated it as it's been updated. It gets a little bit better in each release, for sure. Mm-hmm. But then it has a ways to go. You know, in every version, you can kind of pinpoint, well, here are the issues with it, whatever. So there's two things I think that are starting to chip away at the primary complaint about S mode. One is that the number of high quality apps in the store has gone up subtly. I mean, there aren't a bunch of them, but we're starting to see things like Microsoft Office is available in the store. Adobe Photoshop Elements is available in the store. Yeah. Spotify is available in the store. iTunes someday will be available in the store.
And that's a big deal. You know, if you think about
it. Yeah, it's a big deal to people, for sure.
Here's what I'm looking at right now on my Mac, out of all things, right? I'm mm-hmm. looking at Outlook. Office is open right now, so I'm using Office for notes.
Yep.
Spotify is on the bottom, and it's open because I paused it. Skype and TweetDeck. Along with Chrome. I mean, those are really the applications that I'm using on a regular basis.
Yep, yep. So, in some ways, Windows 10S might work for you. I mean, assuming you are 10S mode, I got to get used to this name. Assuming you're okay using Edge, right? I think, you know, according to Microsoft statistics, Windows users on average spend over half their time on the web. So web browsing is kind of job one. It's a big activity. When I look at my own computers, I see a couple of things that I use on a regular basis that are not available in S mode, right? So not just Chrome itself, but I pin web apps to my taskbar using Chrome, and I use them as if they were apps. And I really, I kind of harp on this, but and maybe this is not a mainstream activity for people, I don't know, but I really, really value that capability. Mm. Now, in the new version of Windows 10, they're going to allow users to have access to progressive web apps through the store. It's possible that some or all of the apps that I'm using this way through Chrome will someday very soon be available to me in Windows 10 in S mode, and that would be amazing. And so we'll see. That's not there today, but that's something that could be changing. And then I have a couple of other apps that I just kind of use regularly, which are esoteric in some ways, like Markdown Pad, which is my text editor, and the cat that I'm going to murder.
Is the cat very upset about S mode?
She's just a pest. Like it's getting a little irritating with the cat.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then I there are things that I don't use super regularly, but I do spend time in. And if you're a power user of any kind, you know, S mode is not going to work for you because you're not going to be able to use developer environments like Visual Studio or Visual Studio Code. Android Studio, whatever. So, I mean, that kind of stuff is off limits. Desktop games are off limits. That's a big thing. That's actually going to be a big issue for a lot of people. Microsoft's done a decent job of getting a small collection of really high-quality games into the store, especially first-party Microsoft Studio games, and that's great. But there are still issues along those lines. And so
what's going to be the pivotal shift for more development to come to that platform?
So I actually think it's progressive web apps.
Yeah.
You know, in my case, I mean, look, everyone's needs are different. And I think this is the thing. There are people who believe that S mode or Windows 10S today are fine, that it's fine for most people. You hear these kind of trite phrases like this is it's OK. You know, like people could get by with it, you know. But the truth is that Windows 10S today and S mode in the near future will betray virtually anyone who uses it at some point, because we all have that one application or that one hardware device that requires a special hardware driver or software package that you just cannot install on Windows 10 S. And, you know, for example, if you had a specific kind of printer or an all-in-one printing device that does, you know, faxing, scanning, whatever, it's possible that Windows 10 S will provide you with some basic functionality for that device. It's also possible it won't work at all. But what is the fact is that that software driver package, whatever that Canon or Panasonic or whatever the company is provides, will not install on Windows 10 S. It just will not work. Even Microsoft products like a Microsoft Precision Surface Precision Mouse, it works in a very basic way with Windows 10 S or S mode, but you can't install the custom software package that lets you customize all of its buttons. So if you want to do anything beyond the basics, you're kind of out of luck. You just can't use it. In my case, the second article that you were referring to that I wrote was about writing, and I am a writer, so I use writing tools, obviously. I switched from Word to a text editor, Markdown specifically, kind of editor, a couple years ago. That's unusual. Like, I admit this. I don't mean to suggest that this is a normal thing for people to do. But Word is available in Windows 10 S. It's the desktop version of Word, but it's available through the store. That's a super high quality app. It's something most people would be very happy with. But one of the other tools I use is something called Grammarly, and Grammarly is available as a plugin in web browsers and in applications like Microsoft Word. Well, the Grammarly plugin is delivered as a desktop application, so
that's
I actually enough. can't use it with the store version of Microsoft Word in S mode. It doesn't work.
When you look at this type of thing you're going to run into, right? Like, because now this is the mode, and we actually spoke about this when they announced Windows 10 S, right? My first thing was, okay, this is cool, but this should be a mode. This should be a switch that you toggle if this is the environment that you want to put in. Like, I'll give an example. I got, you know, with my kids, maybe I would want them to use this to, you know, for security reasons, for limitations on what they can install and can't install. I thought that was a phenomenal feature. And I know that you could allocate that and you could set up certain things like that depending on the profile. But if this is the direction that they're headed for whoever the, I guess, education, I guess.
I talked to them about this. It's funny. I keep looking at them like, seriously, are you serious? I mean, do you really believe this? But, you know, even in their most recent blog post about S mode, Joe Belfiore said something to the effect of Microsoft expects most Windows users to use Windows 10 in S mode going forward. And that is delusional.
Well, okay.
I mean, it's delusional.
You know how that would be possible?
Yeah, I do.
If by default on every computer, you're automatically set on S mode.
Well, but here's how it works out in S mode. So S mode works like Windows 10 S. It's a mode. It is a mode. I mean, it's fair to say it's a mode, but you can't switch in and out of it. You can switch out of it. It's a one-way street. So you're running Windows 10 in S mode and you're putting along happily. Your stuff is working. You're downloading stuff from the store, whatever. And then you go to the web and you try to download an application and it will download. But then when you go to run it, a dialogue pops up and says, hey, you can't do this. Here's why. We think this is important. There are alternatives in the store. There aren't, actually.
Yeah.
But click here if you want to switch to Windows 10 Pro. It's free, right? And that's one of the changes they're making with S mode. The upgrade's always going to be free. It's mode switch is going to be free, right? So you could be running Windows Home in S mode. You could be running Windows Pro in S mode. If you want to switch to the normal mode, you can do so on the fly. It's free.
But you can't go back.
You can't go back.
Yeah, that's...
So to your point, I here's how you get most everyone in the Windows community running Windows in S mode. It's very easy. You make it a real mode. And you could, as a parent, like you were saying, this is an excellent idea. You set up child accounts for your kids on your computer. You go in and you install the couple of applications that you want them to use. And then you lock it down in S mode. And in other ways, too, but you just put it in S mode. And now when they're browsing around the web in Chrome or whatever browser you think they should be using, and they click on a link, they can download it, but they won't be able to install it. That's a good policy to have for kids. It's smart. There are other parental controls in Windows that will trigger you getting an email saying, hey, your kid tried to install this. Do you want to let them? That kind of thing. That's separate from S-Mode.
That's all separate,
But, you know, me as like a person, I would do this, right? I would do this right now. I would do my standard little – I have a couple of applications I need to run right up front, Chrome and Markdown Pad, let's say. Those are the two I want. I would install those apps, and then I would put it back into S mode. And then just say, look, obviously these things are going to keep running. Don't allow any other Win32 software to install itself on my computer. I think that's a great idea.
Okay, so here's another hypothetical or question. Let's put in the ether, right?
Mm-hmm.
What benefit other than security, right? Other than security, like if I'm selling this to someone, as,
why would you want this?
I'm the guy that's got to sell this to you to use this mode. What are my talking points? Is it just security, or are we going to talk about performance gains with the applications? Are we going to talk about performance within Windows itself? You know, these are things that the consumer will probably, if you go to the consumer and say, listen, man, it's 30% faster. It's way safer. Applications are better. Okay.
Well, okay. So applications are not better.
Well, that's, that's out. Yeah.
So the selling points are security, like you said. It is also performance, and specifically performance over time. There's this belief, and I think it's largely true still today, that Windows degrades in performance over time. However, it's not usually because of the reasons that people think. Just like, well, actually, we don't know this for a fact, but I suspect that smartphone performance degradation is largely caused by the same problem, which is this. Over time, you install a bunch of crap on there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of time, it's crap you don't even, you kind of stop using. Like, you download a utility on the web, you look at it, you're like, eh, you know, I don't really need this. It sits there on your computer. And maybe it runs a little processes every once in a while that looks for updates. Or maybe it's put something in your startup group even that runs every single time your computer is booted. And over time, the resources in your computer are getting chipped away at largely by things that you're not even using anymore, maybe. Or maybe they are by things you are using. It doesn't really matter. But there's all this additional stuff running. So when you reset a phone, or if you reset Windows today, on the same hardware, you will notice it runs really great right in the beginning. Like, it's really nice. And I think a big part of the performance degradation is this background processy stuff. So the theory is, if you're running only store apps, you're not going to have that kind of problem. But it's actually just a theory. The truth is, you're just not going to have it as frequently, because actually store apps can put startup items into, you know, items into the startup folder too. And when store apps use a central updating mechanism, so there's only one thing running in the background looking for updates for everything at one time, and that's probably better overall for performance. But it's there's no real data that says, like you said, 30%. Microsoft doesn't have this figure because it doesn't exist. One of the other theories, and one of the things that they would tout as a benefit, would be battery life. And the theory here is solid enough. I mean, the notion is, if you're limited to running applications that only come through the store, then the applications you run are not going to drain the battery as much as some other applications can. So, for example, Adobe Photoshop is a known battery hog, even the version that comes in the store, by the way. So if you leave that thing running in the background and you're on a flight, like, you're...
Yeah, you're done.
Uptime is going to be down, you know, down by an hour or more, just by virtue of the fact that this thing was sitting there eating resources and consuming battery life. If you use an application like VLC Media Player to play back movies or whatever, that application is going to consume more battery life than the movies and TV app that comes out of the store that's part of Windows 10. Microsoft Edge gets better battery life than Chrome and Firefox. That's a fact. You know, the OneNote version in the store probably does better on battery life. I don't know that this is a fact, but I suspect it does, than the desktop version of OneNote or whatever. So when you kind of add all that up, like, what you're basically saying is, by limiting your capabilities, you're also enhancing your battery life. But here again, like, Microsoft doesn't actually have a figure, because it would probably vary by individual, because we all do different things. I mean, one thing, I guess, like, I've never tested this, but, you know, I do battery life tests on laptops and things. And the way I do it is actually using that store app, movies and TV. So in some ways, it's a best case scenario, and I don't have other things running in the background. You know, it'd be interesting to test the battery life on the same device on day one, and then test it after like 2 or 3 months after you have put a bunch of stuff on there, and just kind of see what it looks like. I bet it does go down, you know? So Windows 10S or S mode, it's streamlined. It's a streamlined version of Windows. That's what the S stands for. Better battery life, better performance, especially over time, and better security. Because you're just using store apps. Really, what they're called is, Microsoft describes them as store apps, but what they really are apps from trusted sources, primarily through the store. There are actually a couple of weird little exceptions to how you can get apps in other ways, but nothing mainstream. So I the issue is this, so you get this trade-off. Like there are these like kind of theoretical benefits on one side that have never been proven for the most part. But then you have these very real-world limitations. You cannot run iTunes today. Someday you will be able to. You cannot run Google Chrome. You cannot, you know, do the thing I'm doing with these web apps. You cannot run Markdown Pad, although I realize no one wants to do that. Whatever. Can't run Visual Studio. Can't run Android Studio. Can't run Hyper-V. Can't run PowerShell. You can't run Windows Subsystem for Linux. These are all things that maybe are on the fringes, you know, from mainstream users. And you have to kind of make that decision.
Yeah, but you know what isn't on the fringe? You know what isn't on the fringe? That crappy, you know, software that came with your printer that you no longer could use.
No, and that's what I mean. In other words, Windows 10S, I really do feel, or 10S mode, still today, at some point will bite you, you know? I think that the problem with this is, if you think about it, is 10S or S mode is very much like an Apple thing. It's very paternalistic. You know, Microsoft, in this case, knows better than you.
Yeah.
And they're going to enforce this limit. But it's like an all or nothing thing. Like, yeah, you can get out of it. But if you do, you just, you know, it's like we're throwing you to the wolves. Like, I feel like there's this happy medium that it can occur where I, as an adult, can say, look, I get it. I like what you're trying to do here. And, of course, this would be my one time that Siri comes on during the day because it always does that to me. I don't know why. But, look, I'm buying into your future. I believe that what you're trying to do is valid. I want to do it. I just want to run Chrome. And in my case, I want to run Markdown Pad. And then when I'm done doing those things, I'm going to switch it into S mode. You know, by the way, I might have mentioned this before. I'm just going to look at it. So my face is going to get bright because it's so white. But if you are running Windows 10 Home or Pro today, you can go into Settings and then Apps. And then just right there. So in the first screen there, it's called Installing Apps. And you've got three choices. The default on these systems is allow apps from anywhere. And that just means it's Windows. There are no restrictions.
Yeah.
The S mode style, which is available in Home and Pro today, is called allow apps from the store only.
Hmm.
And what that means is if you try to install something, you'll get that same dialogue that Windows 10S users see. The only difference is you can turn it off, right? And this, by the way, is a mode. It's a two-way street. You can go in either direction.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, right?
Yeah. But there's also this third option that you'll never see in S mode. It's called warn me before installing apps from outside the store. Now I'm going to see if I can trigger this one because it's kind of interesting what this does. In other words, you download Chrome or something and you let me find an exe here. Yeah,
where's .exe, right? Is that what you're loading?
Yeah, where's? Yeah. Yep. Actually, maybe this just goes because, yeah, this is a Microsoft app. So I actually was smart enough to pick one of the exceptions. Let me run this little guy. Oh, it's just working. Oh, I think because I already installed it. Oh, okay. I guess, yeah, once you install it, it just goes. So anyway, what it does normally, I'm in my downloads folder. So, of course, I'm installing things I've already installed. What it will do is throw up a dialog that looks like the Windows 10S dialog. But it says, hey, this is not a trusted app. We don't know where this came from. Are you sure you want to do this? And then, but you can say yes. And it's just like that little additional level of something where it kind of says, hey, I just want to remind you that this, you know, that you could be impacting your performance, your security, your reliability, whatever it might be. And I think that's adult.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. And that's a perfectly, by the way, Mac OS does this, right?
They do, by default.
If you download an app from the web by default, you know, I think there's a setting you can turn this off, but the first time you go to run that thing or you pull it into your apps folder or whatever, it will say, hey, this is from a trusted source. Are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
Or an untrusted source or an unknown source, whatever the language is. And I to me, that's a perfectly acceptable.
And it's your choice if you want to turn it off. Like I've turned it off on mine. You know?
Yeah. Just treat us like adults.
Yeah. This is interesting. I want to continue this. And I actually, you brought up the Mac side and I kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit on what they're going to be doing with the next, I guess the next version of their operating system, and they announced WWDC a little early, right? Isn't it early for WWDC announcements?
I don't remember what the time frame is for the announcement, but it's still in June, right?
Yeah, it's in June, but I thought I was surprised by them announcing it this early. But before we go on, I want to talk about our great sponsor, and that's Simple Contacts. I wear contact lenses, and I always find myself dreading, and this is for real. I absolutely hate going to the doctor, making an appointment, to renew my prescription. It's just a hassle. And I've always thought to myself, man, I wish there was an easy way to do this. And, you know, I've tried their services that, you know, claimed that you could just order within 24 hours. They ship it. No, it doesn't work like that. You need your prescription because they keep, you can't just hand these out. You can't just give contact lenses without a prescription. So here's something interesting. That's why I'm excited for Simple Contact. I actually got my last pair from them, and it's unbelievable how it works. It's a great new app that makes this dreadful process way easier. You could also save $30 on contact lenses at simplecontact.com and use the offer code, the promo code Andrew, when you're purchasing your contacts. So this is how it works. It's totally convenient. So you could do it at home. You go, you create your account, you log in, and you take an eye test. It takes like 5 minutes to do this. They have, the great thing is they have a great staff there, and you can't game their system either. I mean, they're very strict on how, you know, how to follow this. And it's super easy, by the way. You just go through. My brother did it, and he's not a bright guy. My brother, he's a dummy. he actually went through this process so quick. I was shocked actually how he does it, but here's a great thing. These are each time you take the test, it's reviewed. Every exam is reviewed carefully to make sure that your eyes look healthy and that your vision hasn't changed from your prior prescription. Also, by the way, this is you should still go to your yearly checkup on your eyes. This is not replacing your appointment at the doctor to check your eye health. This is exclusively to get your contact lenses, simply online. If you go to simplecontacts.com/Andrew, you can enter the promo code Andrew at checkout, and you get $30 off your first Simple Contacts order. And I'm going to tell you, it was actually great, and the prices are very competitive. Also, the eye exam costs only $20 when you opt in to do the eye exam with them, which is phenomenal. Simplecontacts.com/Andrew. Use the promo code Andrew at checkout. It's amazing, right, Paul, that we could order contact lenses now like this? You just get they do the exam and everything, and you're set.
Yeah, pretty soon we'll be doing like, dentist online.
Yeah, I was thinking that. Why can't I?
Why can't I stick a metal implant in my face?
Can't it be robotic? Can't it be controlled by robots?
Sure.
You know, this is great.
IoT dentistry.
Yeah. Thank you for Simple Contacts for supporting the show. All right. I'm like totally congested now. I don't know what happened. Now I need to call a doctor.
I am too, actually.
Yeah. I think it's the change in the weather. So we were talking about, you know, Windows 10S and how that's going, but on the Mac side, right now the direction is to implement, you know, to incorporate iOS apps.
Yeah, I feel like on the Mac, there was a big push a while back. Remember Steve Jobs at the time put up that virtuous cycle graphic, and he talked about how the core of iOS had come from the Mac, obviously, but now they were in a position where iOS had advanced to the point where there were features from iOS that made sense to bring back to Mac OS X at the time. Mm-hmm. And they implemented all these iOS-like features in Mac OS, some of which were kind of successful and some of which weren't, whatever. But it seems like for the past, I don't know if it's been, I don't know how to separate these things. You know, they switched from cat names to California names. It's certainly been in the last two or three releases. It seems like they've backed off from putting iOS type features in the system, because obviously there's like a touch ID button in certain MacBook Pros and so forth. But it seems like the focus lately has been more on fit and finish and low level technologies. Like, the Mac is like Windows is kind of a mature legacy desktop operating system. It may not make sense, you know, for them to ever do like a major UI overhaul ever again.
Yeah,
and they've kind of settled into what I think is kind of a more appropriate, I don't know, kind of update cycle on that system than with Windows. I mean, Windows is like that middle-aged guy who shows up at the party and he's wearing like a white leisure suit and he's acting like he's a young guy, but he really stands out as not being a young guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's Windows 10. Like, it's just like act your age. Like, it's just, you know, we don't need emojis and 3D and mixed reality. Like, this is just surface sheen. Like, it's we're just keeping busy to be busy, you know, not really thinking through what it is that people really need on this system.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if how this is going to be implemented, because if the Apple of a couple of years ago, I would have said, wow, they would probably bring over the entire, you know, change the recommendation when you're submitting an app and give people X amount of time to have their app work on the Mac platform. And but now I don't know if they would launch with this, you know, with the Apple way of forcefulness. Right now they're kind of half-assing everything that they've put out. I mean, this Touch Bar is not that great on the new Macs. You know, there's issues here, there's issues there, there's little hiccups happening. So I don't know how well this would be implemented with the next version of the Mac OS.
I mean, you know, they're not going to put a touchscreen on these things. You know,
I don't know
not,
anymore,
you know.
But I don't know. I mean, is that?
I just don't see that ever happening. It's one of those weird Apple things. You know, I do hope that they bring iOS apps. I think that's what you were referring to earlier. Notion that iPad apps might be coming to the Mac. Like, I hope they do that. I think that makes sense. It would be very Apple for them to do that after everyone else did it, right? You know, Android apps are coming to Chrome OS. So Google's doing that. Microsoft implemented a mobile app store in Windows 8 first and then Windows 10. They never really went as far to bring, well, they didn't bring Windows Phone 8 apps to Windows, but they did change the app platform so the developer could create one app that ran on both and essentially got to the same place. So, and then, you know, obviously the phone failed, so that was kind of lousy, but, you know, it's not a bad way to overcome an app gap, you know, and Microsoft does not have that luxury, right? So on the Mac, I'm on the Apple beta program, the Apple developer program. So I just installed the latest beta of whatever version of Mac OS 10, Mac OS, whatever they call it.
I think it's update 5 or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is. And Mac OS, like iOS in the latest versions, there's a couple screens that kind of pop up after you set them up now. One of them is about privacy, very much like what Microsoft does in Windows 10. But they had one in Mac I'd never seen before. It was basically advertising the store. And it was kind of like the privacy screen, but it kind of said, look, I probably took a screenshot of it, but it said, hey, there's this great place to get apps on the Mac or, you know, whatever the wording was. And I thought that's interesting. Like they're actually kind of pushing that. And I kind of wondered at the time if it wasn't on purpose because they're envisioning this day coming very soon when that will be the place where you can get your iPad apps as well. And all of a sudden that store will explode in quality, which is desperately needed over there. And on the Windows side, the only way that's ever going to happen is through progressive web apps, right? If we can get, especially those Google apps, I mean, how amazing would it be if Google Gmail and Inbox and Calendar and Maps and, you know, whatever else were all available all of a sudden on Windows 10, that would change the landscape for Windows users pretty dramatically.
I don't know. I don't know where, you know, if you think about the Windows side and you think about the Mac side, there's been a major split, you know, before you say, well, like, oh, it's the same thing, you know, Mac OS and Windows 10 or Windows 7. I mean, the argument was Windows 7 and Mac OS, whatever it was, or OS 10, whatever. It's the same thing. It's just a little different. But now you're seeing the difference, right? You're seeing the...
Well, yeah, it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. I never said that. I never thought that
No, I don't. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm disagreeing with that assertion. Like, in other words, they have, like we talked about, they brought forward iOS type interfaces into Mac OS. You know, Windows 7 never got that stuff and never will. So there are modern ways of launching apps. There's a notification center with notifications in it and widgets and things like that. I mean, there's a bunch of modern UIs in the Mac that have been implemented in a way that makes sense with keyboard and mouse, right? I mean, we can kind of disagree or agree on strategy of each company, but they've kind of done, like, if Microsoft never did a mobile app store in Windows, this is the type of thing they would have done instead. So this is like the alternate approach.
But Microsoft had such a great opportunity to create their own app store, huh? Years ago. I mean, they could have done this years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago. And it would have really defeated this whole thing about, you know, security. You know, obviously there's going to be security concerns with Windows because millions and millions and millions of people use it around the world.
Yeah,
so there's always going to be vulnerabilities and people trying to exploit it. But if Microsoft had created this app store, you know, 10 years ago,
it's partners
that
they
trusted. You don't think it would have been successful in any way?
I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on that. But it's kind of an interesting problem when you think about, because to me the big issue is not like security, although I'm sure that's the thing. But it's more like app discoverability. You know, if you're a developer and you're looking out at the landscape of platforms you could kind of release apps on or whatever, you can choose how you would do that in different ways. Obviously, the volume of users is a big deal. But app discoverability is kind of a thing, too. You know, one of the big advantages of iOS for many years was just the store and how great it was. And a lot of apps would get millions of downloads just because they were promoted in the store. You know, today with a billion whatever apps are in there, it's really hard for smaller developers in particular to get any, exposure through the store.
By the way, same problem on iTunes with music. Smaller, indie bands, it's hard to discover. And podcasts as well.
So in other words, the thing that drew you there, the size of it, is the thing that works against you as a developer, right? So in some cases, and so in many cases, probably. That's a tough one. So, well, what's the alternative, right? So, well, one of the alternatives is you can make these apps installable over the web. Like you could search for the name of an app or search for a type of app or something in Google or Bing or whatever. And then depending on the platform you were running, you could get like these search results where you could click a link in the search page and, you know, the app installs. Microsoft's planning on doing this. Google is planning on doing this. I don't know if Apple will never do this, but those two guys at least are doing it. But I mean, is there a thing out there that's bigger and more convoluted and hard to find stuff on than an app store? Yeah, it's called the web. And like, what's your possibility for exposure on the web? It's probably just as problematic.
It's a lot of noise. So, yeah, it's a lot of noise.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm trying to say is it's not really clear what the best approach is, if there's another approach that no one has ever thought up yet. But it's almost, you know, a lot of times when things become, when they scale, I guess, they become so big, you start to realize that it's not working anymore, right? So the iOS home screen is a good example of this. When you just had one screen of icons, a grid of icons was fine. When you had two or three screens, it was okay. When you had like eight or nine, it was like, oh, we can do folders now, you know, and it was okay. But now that you know, people might have hundreds and hundreds of apps on their phone. It's like this is not this UI doesn't scale, you know, and it's possible that the App Store as a thing on any platform also doesn't scale, you know, and I don't have a solution. I'm just pointing out it's kind of an emerging problem.
You know, we always play this game where what the top apps are in the Mac App Store. Number one app, Magnet.
Magnet
keeps RSS your workspace organized. Oh. So essentially, it's snapping. You're snapping windows.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay.
That's the number one app.
Sorry to distract you real quick. I don't have my Mac in front of me, but I'm in the same way that I'm doing like a living with Windows 10s thing right now. I might do a thing on living with the Mac. And when I look at the Mac and I think about the shortcuts and the habits that I've developed in Windows, some of the things I use a lot are not available on the Mac. And one of them is snapping.
Yeah. I'm curious.
I use a utility for that. It might be Magnet. It might be something else. I don't remember the name of it, but I've configured it so it works like it does in Windows, where you can hold down a key and an arrow key and snap, you know, windows, maximize them, whatever. That's a good example of something that's not in the Mac for some reason. Like, it's like, why wouldn't that? They have it on the iPad. Like,
isn't
why?
Interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking. Well, there's a third party app and it's the number one app and it has 9,000 ratings of 5 stars.
Wow. I should go look and see if that's the one I'm using.
I'm going to download this. It's 99 cents.
Actually, I can look it up online.
So the second one is Logic Pro X. Third is Final Cut Pro. Third is Adware Doctor. Dr. Clean Pro. Affinity Photos. The Sims. Notability. Main Stage 3. Affinity Designer. I guess it's Mirror for Samsung. I don't know what this is. Mirrors for Samsung TV. Wow, this is interesting. Application to mirror your screen from your Mac to any Samsung smart TV. No wires needed. I wonder how well this works.
By the way, not to get off on a completely different tangent, but because everything you say reminds me of something else.
Oh, yeah. I'm good at that.
We have a Samsung smart TV.
Yeah.
Watching House Hunters today at lunch, as we always do.
Of course.
Yep. And there's a little toolbar thing that lets you choose sources and then apps that you might have installed on the TV. And one of the spots is an ad, and I don't usually ever pay attention to it, but the ad today which I saw, and it was like that record scratching sound where I just sat there and stared at it for a second, like I couldn't believe it was there.
Yeah.
Was for the U.S. Army.
It was an app for the U.S. Army.
No, it was an advertisement for the U.S. Army.
On the thing.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I felt that was slightly inappropriate.
Everything is an ad. Everything is being sold to you now. There's no. Everything is an angle. Everything is an ad. Like every time I talk about a product on the show with you, I always have to be like, "This is not an ad. They're not paying me. I actually like this.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
And it's such a weird. Like I tend to do that in my real life now, because I'm so used to being defensive about being positive or negative about something because everybody thinks it's some sort of angle.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
go ahead. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I'm sorry.
No, it's the mixed mind. It's the Skype delay. Damn it. Even the ads that I have, you know, these are products that I love. With that said,
it helps. That helps a lot.
You know. I'm not a shill for my ads, but I do want to talk about ButcherBox.
Nice segue, by the way.
No, actually, I do want to talk about this because you kind of did the primal thing, right? You did the meat diet. You just say meat.
I wouldn't call it. I did a keto diet.
A keto, yeah. But it's heavy. It's heavy on the meat side.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. So it's been terrible with. I was talking about this during this live read and a couple of weeks ago, and I got so many emails from people saying, like, "Listen, I know what it's like. I gained like 20 pounds when my wife had kids. You know, when my wife after my wife." Every kid, I gain like 10 pounds, and it's so hard, and this is something you guys should do together. So for me, when I lost all that weight initially, I pretty much stuck to the diet that ButcherBox provides you with. And it was primarily, I was sticking to really high-quality meat. I'm not talking about those prepackaged sale things that you get at, I don't want to name the store, but it begins with a W. I went to my in-laws and they were like buying a bunch of stuff, and I saw like they bought like God, what was it? I forgot. It was like a steak or something, and it said it was injected in it with all the saline to plump it up to make it look better. And I'm like, ugh, why? And there's a great way to avoid this. So here's how ButcherBox works. You could choose from a curated box that includes mixed high-quality beef, chicken, and pork, or you could customize your box, depending. Like, if you don't eat pork or you don't eat chicken, you could just customize it and just put whatever you want in the box. Each box is shipped with careful calculation with the amount of dry ice to ensure it remains frozen after it reaches your doorstep. So, example, if you live in Arizona or you live in New York, and depending on what the climate is, they know exactly how to preserve this. All the meat is delivered for free to your doorstep. You don't have to go to a very expensive butcher. You don't have to go to the store. And the quality you select, at least the way that it works is that you pick your meat, right? And each of the things that you pick, like with ButcherBox, they deliver you grass-fed, grass-finished beef, free-range organic chicken, and heritage-bred pork. No antibiotics, no hormones. These things are unbelievably healthy. And when you see how it arrives and you see the meat, it's actually the color difference is something that really is alarming, right? When you compare a cheap cut that you get at the grocery store, the everyday thing, compared to this, it's actually astonishing the difference in the quality. But I'm actually, I tend not to marinate these because they're so good, but I really wanted to make a recipe that I saw. So I'm actually defrosting one of the steaks right now, and I'm about to make it after the show. So it was actually a perfect time to do this read today. And ButcherBox believes in a healthier food system where everyone has access to meat the way that nature intended, free of antibiotics and hormones, and they're humanely raised. That's the other part. So here's a great offer for you guys. If you go to butcherbox.com/Andrew, you can claim your free bacon and $20 off when you visit the butcherbox.com/Andrew and you enter Andrew. That is the code. That is the promo code when you're checking out. You enter Andrew. These guys are phenomenal. I absolutely love them. And the quality, it just speaks for itself. I'm not big on making chicken at home because I feel like it's never as good. You know, I go to a place by my house. Well, you've been there. You've been to Press. That's actually, I always just get like the chicken from there. Just a couple cuts of chicken and no bread, nothing. And that's like part of my diet, you know, if I'm trying to cut back on bread. The chicken from these guys from ButcherBox, it was oh my God, 10 times better than what they're able to do. And I praise those guys over there. So I'm telling you, give it a shot. ButcherBox.com/Andrew and enter the code Andrew at checkout. I want to thank ButcherBox for supporting the show. Paul, so yes, did you order the S9?
I did.
You did. It's coming.
I just got a FedEx shipping announcement that it's coming tomorrow.
I have yet to order it. So do I just go into the store and pick it up?
Yeah, it seems like this thing is readily available. So I don't think you're going
to. No, what happened with me is I went to order it over the weekend and mm-hmm. I'm contract free. Like on my phone, like I paid off the phone like 6 months ago. And it said that there was a hold. There's a hold of $120 on my phone. So I called them and I said, hey, what is this? And they go, well, you upgraded a phone, my S6. It's the upgrade from my S6, apparently. And I go, no, that doesn't sound right. I had that thing for 2 years.
Wow.
And they looked at it. They go, yep, you're right. We'll remove it. So it took 24 hours. So I think I'm just going to order it online or I'll just walk into, I don't know.
I'll just walk into a store. I like the way Samsung does this because on day one, you can go to the Samsung website. You can say, I want this color. I want the big one or the small one or whatever. And then they list the carriers or you can get it carrier unlocked. It'll work on anything. And I chose that and I move on and here we are.
Is it better to get it from Samsung or is it better to get it from Verizon? What do you think?
Personally, I would get it from Samsung and I would get the unlocked version, internet, whatever it is, the carrier unlocked, like not tied to a carrier version because you can use it anywhere.
Here's another question for you. Does that have a different chipset? Because you know Samsung has two different chips in it.
So I didn't look that up because I don't use Verizon, but you should look at that. I bet you could find that out very quickly.
Because from what I've
read.
In other words, it
might be GSM only or whatever.
Yeah.
It could be. It could be.
But
that,
even the processor is different on their international version. I don't know if you
that's
know
true.
If you saw that.
No, I do. Yeah, that's true. But
I don't know if you know that, Paul. I don't know if you do your due diligence.
Thank you, Andrew. Tell me some other things I already know. I do know that. But Apple, by contrast, when the new iPhones come out, you can only get them through a carrier at first, typically. And certainly that was the case with the iPhone X. So you have to wait. I think it was a month or two before you could get the unlocked version that would work. And I think the Apple one is truly universal. Like it will work on any carrier. But when I got the iPhone X, I had to wait whatever amount of time it was, 30 or 60 days. I don't remember. So, you know, in that case, I kept looking at Apple blogs, which I love to do. Those guys are really well informed and smart. And just waiting to see when this Apple thing changed. And, like I said, it took a while. So that I could get this thing on day one from Samsung, no hassle, whatever, is well done. Like they do a good job with that.
I wonder if that hinders them in any way or they don't have the same philosophy. Because Apple could honestly provide every single person that walks into a store with an iPhone for that day. They know.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for other iPhones, but I think in the case of the iPhone X, they actually did have stock issues. Like they didn't have a lot of them. And I'm sure what they wanted to do was make sure they had enough of the versions that were carrier specific right up front. That's what they focused on.
Yeah.
To make sure that demand was met. And so, but this policy dates back. It's possible that the iPhone 8 and 8 Plus were available and locked on day one. I never considered those phones. But in the past, I went through this. I'm sorry, I didn't go through it, but I noticed this in the past. The reason I didn't go through it is because I did the iPhone upgrade program, and that is tied to a carrier, and I did AT&T. But, I always want the one that's unlocked. And in the case of like the AT&T iPhone that I still have, I get it unlocked by the carrier, as soon as I can.
Also, with Samsung, if you do it through Samsung, it's a yearly upgrade. Right.
If you do the upgrade program.
If you do the upgrade program, yeah.
Yeah. It is on Apple too if you want it to be. Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. I could do unlocked. But would it work on Verizon? That's a good question.
It will definitely say. Okay. It's gotta say right there. It has to.
It says carrier and then it says unlocked. Mm-hmm. And it's $1. Actually, this is funny. The unlocked version is $8.39. The Verizon version is $9.29.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's almost $100 more. It's $90 more.
Oh, maybe the unlocked version doesn't work on.
Yeah, the AT&T version is $914. The T-Mobile version is $840.
That's crazy.
Sprint is $912, and U.S. Cellular is $919. I don't know why they have that listed there.
That's funny.
So have you ever done the trading? Because I got this S7 with a cracked screen. Can I trade that in?
They will accept any trade-in, but what you'll get is, I think it's $50 or $100.
That's fine. I'll take
on
that.
On anything. Yeah.
On anything. How many devices can I trade in? Can I keep?
I could have traded in my Google Pixel 2 XL for $300. And I was like, yeah, if I'm going to get rid of this, it's going to be worth more than that. I don't see any language explaining what this is good on. You should look this up.
Cheesy Patty in our chat room says, Apple still holds back the unlocked iPhones at least a month.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I know they did with the iPhone 10, and I know they did
Thank
that
you, Cheesy
past.
Patty.
Yeah.
I want to trade in a Samsung, let's see, S7 Edge. Trade-in value is $300. Can I tell them that it's crappy, like it's broken, or they don't care?
I think as you go through the process, they'll ask you to
how
tell
crappy.
You the condition, and it will go down based on what you
Can
tell
I
them.
Put shit as the condition?
I don't know how it works.
Hi, Samsung. Listen, I looked. It said fair. It said okay. It said great. But do you have shit listed? No?
I'm confused by this. So will... I don't know why I care. I don't have, I'm not on Verizon, but will Samsung unlocked work on Verizon?
Okay, cracked S7 is $100. So I could just do a cracked S7 for $100. So I think I'll do that. And then you got to go through their financing, right? They got to do like a whole thing with you.
Or you could just pay for it.
Or you could just pay for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want to drop $1,000 on a phone right now, you know?
I mean, yeah, I, well, yeah, it's
so
by
crazy.
The way, I should say, because Windows 10S is one of the things I get a lot of complaints from people, even though I know no one's using it. I'm not sure what they're complaining about. But the other one I hear from people on a lot is the Google Pixel 2 XL. Like, I've complained endlessly about how bad this phone is. I recently blew the phone away using, you know, those like command line tools that, for Google developers. And installed the, what did I install? The latest, Android P beta. And here's the funny thing. It hasn't solved all the problems, but it actually solved a couple of the problems.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, it's almost like blowing away a device and resetting it, like, you know, kind of helps. Like, because it really does. Anyway, it didn't solve all the audio problems in particular. Like, there's a popping sound that I get through the internal speakers, you know, if I switch songs or whatever, that I find really irritating. But the performance is better again. The dongle thing, the USB-C dongle I was complaining about, has started working more reliably, which is actually really good news. I don't know.
So sorry, my wife is now the head of the CFO of GFQ.
Mm-hmm.
And she's messaging me telling me that she's done such a better job than I ever did with managing the money.
Okay.
So right now I just told her, I'm like, I need, with that said, I need to repair my Mac. That's $300 because I got a bad battery in this one and I got to fix the logic board. And I need to get this new phone. So expense that. Thank you. So, you know, I wanted to save this. I don't know if I should. You know what? Let's save this for the post show because Jess bought, you know, I told you, right? She bought a 13-inch MacBook Pro with a touch bar because she just had to get it. Like her Mac died and she just needed one. Mm-hmm. Her screen cracked because it hit the corner. Okay. Her screen. Actually, first, the shift key stopped working. The shift key broke.
Well, that's a big problem.
Right?
See, this is one of the things that makes me very hesitant to get this device.
Oh, wait. You know what? This is the teaser. We're going to save this for the post show, for the Patreon show. We're going to, guys, if you're watching live, stay tuned. You could join us for our Patreon show. If you're listening to the podcast, you guys are going to lose your mind when you hear the story because I have no concept of how this happened. I haven't even looked at this as a common issue, but it's going to blow your mind at this, and I guarantee you this is a design flaw to some capacity, and it will be fixed in a later version. I'm going to give you guys a teaser because I want to go into detail on the post show. If you want to listen to our bonus shows, you can go to patreon.com/whatthetech. You can fund us $1 and you get access to all our bonus shows, which since we moved to Tuesdays, we are back. We're doing these bonus shows. Last couple of weeks, people really enjoyed the arcade cabinet stuff. I'll give a little update on that. And then the main thing we'll be focusing on, what the hell happened to this Mac that she only had for, I want to say, 2 weeks. Hmm. No, 3 weeks. It was 3 weeks that she had it. So I want to go into detail about that. For all things Paul, go to therot.com, of course. Go subscribe to Throt Premium. There's a special happening right now. And I mentioned it at the beginning of the show, and I closed out the Throt page, so I can't even see the special.
So $48.
$48. I mean, that's phenomenal for a year, for one year. The spring sale ends March 31st, so you got a couple days to go and sign up, or you can sign up for monthly for $7 a month, which is great also. Guys, that's it for this week. Stay tuned. If you're watching this live, we're going to do What the Talk. If you're listening to the podcast, go to patreon.com/whatthetech and fund us there.